Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello, lad.
Yeah, hello. Hello, everyone. Live today, you live on the Arthur Larry Tone Gospel Radio Show. Today on the Gospel Show, we're live with Melissa Holmes from the Bronx, New York. How are you doing today, Melissa?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing just fine. How everyone is my callers doing?
Doing just fine.
Okay, everyone. We'll get right to the bottom of this. The guest for today is Melissa Holmes. She's a survivor turned advocate. She's a two-time domestic abuse survivor, and I'll just say a few things, and then I let her talk. And you correct me when you're ready. You got married in 1998. You got married in 1998.
And I came in on dirt from Monday, the bathroom, 5 feet on Silverman.
Yes, married in 1998.
We got married in 1998. Now, someone have some feedback on the line, some music. I hear some voices on the line with some feedback. Could you end the feedback? Melissa Holmes, two-time domestic abuse survivor from the Bronx, New York. She got married in 1998, and that relationship began verbal, emotional, abusive, and later he died of asthma, and she became involved with were you single in this relationship, Melissa?
Yes, I wasn't married to my second abuser. He was just a spouse.
I wanted to make sure I got that correct. She was single, two-time abuse, married the first time. Her second relationship with this guy, he was really, really abusive. He choked her, he punched her, slapped her in the street. He even made threats to kill her, and so he could see the expression on her son's face when he walked into the room. I'll just let Melissa Holmes continue to tell you more about this. Go ahead on, Melissa.
Yes. As you know, as you stated, my first abuse was my husband, who I married in 1998. We were together for 5.5 years before we actually got married, and everything was fine. I saw no signs of abuse, no signs of domestic violence whatsoever. It wasn't until I said I do is when I technically saw the signs, things started to change. I'm not sure for whatever reason, things just sort of kind of took a turn for the worse real quickly. With that being said, as things proceeded to move forward, at some point I had decided to leave him because I had asked him prior to that whether, if he thought it was a good idea, we should separate so that it would allow me some time to, catch a breather as to what was going on, because I felt like he was smothering me. In the instance, he didn't feel at that point that he should separate and be in a different household. He refused to do that. So with him not giving me space and just choosing to stay in the household, things sort of kind of escalated on a daily basis and really took a turn for the worse. At some point, I decided it was best if I left the situation, being that he didn't want to leave. He chose not to leave before things really escalated and someone got hurt. But before I initially had was mentally strong enough to leave. You know, things just started. He started with being real aggressive, verbal. It got physical a couple of times. Then there was the stalking, and then there was the threats coming in to my place of employment. You know, threats just that he would kill me. He would never want to get his hands dirty, but there was always threats that he would have someone else to do it because I had left. And then at some point he died in 2003, and from an asthma attack. And at that point I figure, okay, I got my life back, and you know, things would be different now. I could put this behind me and sort of kind of move forward with my life. I stayed single for about 3 years and jumped back into another abusive relationship after just getting out of one. The second one was 10 times worse than the first one. This last one, there was like real drastic measures. I was physically hit in the street. He fractured my nose one day before my birthday, 1 year. A lot of hair pulling, a lot of slaps. The worst for me was one evening there was an argument. I don't exactly recall exactly what the argument was in reference to. It escalated. He was also a drinker, which where it started out is casually drinking just to be sociable, just turned out to be an everyday drinking a six-pack of Heineken. And I don't recall exactly what the argument was in reference to. I just remember being in the bathroom, and he came into the bathroom. The bathroom actually wasn't, you know, wasn't that big. And at some point, I guess he said something to me, and I responded back. I didn't respond the way I guess he wanted me to respond. I didn't say what he expected me to say or wanted me to say. And it really, really seemed to have irritated him. And he just reached down and he choked me. And I mean, I'm struggling to fight with him, and I could feel myself, my energy, just losing energy. And at that point, you know, he looked down in my face. He had choked me so hard that tears were running down the side of my face. And he was looking in my face. He said to me, you know, I could kill you. I can kill you right here and right now. And I'll sit right here in the house with you until your son comes home from school, just so I could see the expression on his face when he finds your body. It was at that moment.
This is my girlfriend.
It was at that moment that I knew I had to.
Could just one second.
Okay.
I have someone in the background. In the background, I hear a lot of noise from someone in the background. Could you see if you could eliminate that noise for me? Thank you. Go ahead, Melissa.
At some point, it was that moment for me that everything became crystal clear to me that I needed to leave or this man was going to kill me. It was at that moment that I knew he was capable of killing me. So, you know, mentally, it's mentally draining. It's just physically you just don't have the...
After all these years, you know when she's doing this.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot emotionally. Yeah, it takes a lot out of you. But I had to pull it together for not only just myself but my kids. I knew at that point I deserved better. I wanted better. And as they say, when you know better, you do better.
Right.
And you know, so I had to put on my big girl panties and do what was necessary to survive, because I knew at that moment I was in the fight of my life. I was in a real struggle.
Okay.
So I did the necessary, you know, I did what I needed to do for myself and my kids. And before it escalated and got any worse than that, I just couldn't have the fact that my kids knowing that that was the reason their mother was no longer here.
Right, right. And then you started an organization.
And I started.
Love Shouldn't Hurt?
Yes. That's actually what gave me the motivation to start this organization. After, you know, suffering the two abuses and this last one being a real wake-up call for me, I realized, like, wow, you know, I'm not, you know, there's others, I'm sure, that I'm not the only person that's going through this. And we've heard of so many stories of so many women becoming statistics behind domestic violence, and for whatever reason, you know, they don't want to leave or they don't have the strength to leave. So I thought it started out as a Facebook, you know, just a forum that I created on Facebook to give myself and others that were going through the same thing a place where they could feel comfortable and to know that they weren't alone, that there was others out there. We don't want to speak about it for so many reasons, because we're embarrassed and we are afraid of what other people may think of us, and, you know, for many reasons, for whatever it is. And I know that was my biggest problem. I hid it from my family for so many years. The only people that actually knew was my kids. You know, I made my kids promise that they wouldn't say anything to my mother, that, you know, whatever happened in my house would stay in my house and it wouldn't go any further than that. In the fear that I'm ashamed, I couldn't believe that I had gotten myself in a situation like that. You have so many mixed emotions about things that, you know, and then when I created this forum, it was more for a private sector, for those that were going through the same things, to be able to say, wow, you know, there's a form, wow, I'm not in this alone, that there's somebody else that's going through it and somebody else is speaking out. And then it sort of kind of just, after a few years, took on a life of its own. People just started reaching out and saying that they were going through the same thing. And because I shared my story, I never hid it. The most important part of my healing became that outlet in speaking and creating that forum. And then once the forum was created, I did the necessary work. I did the therapy, the counseling for me and my son. My daughter, she was old enough, so she wasn't with me at that time, so she was married and have kids of her own. But because my son was still a minor, he was still in the household with me. So both of us had to get the necessary therapy that we both needed in order to move on and to heal. And that played a big part in my healing.
Okay, healing is important. Healing plays a big role, and your family plays a big role in it. And I hate to, we're moving right along. We're running out of time too. I want the caller. As a matter of fact, I got my first caller, my regular cast member, Brandy Dunham. She has the first thing to ask you, two-time survivor, man. Listen, Holmes from the Bronx, New York. Hold on, we got Brandon Dunham online. Hold on.
Hello, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you this evening?
I'm fine.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to come on and say that I'm, you know, really proud of you to come forward and share your story. You and I can probably relate a little bit differently. I was a child and grew up in a domestic violent home, so I never had it myself, but watched it.
Yes.
So my experience is a little different, but from what you were talking about, it sounds like you came, you know, through a huge struggle. And I'm really proud of you. And you're coming forward, and you've been kind of the support group.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You are
it's so welcome. It feels so good to be so free and just free of there is no word to explain how I feel. And the only one that the only word that comes to my mind right now is just free. It's just it's an amazing experience. Some people get trapped. When you're trapped for so long in a situation, it becomes so hard to be able to dig yourself up out of that hole. Mm-hmm. And, but once you're out of that hole, it's an amazing feeling. You feel like a butterfly. Like you can just accomplish anything. Yes.
So
it's an amazing feeling.
So, Melissa, do you have a website for your support group?
Yes, I do. It's www.loveshouldn'thurtny.com.
Okay. So I want to get that out there. Maybe you have some supporters log on if they're interested. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. That would be awesome.
Right, reach out to those. Some people are really, you know, it's a shameful thing sometimes to people, and it's good that you are coming out and talking about it and sharing your story.
Yes, it is. I tell people, once you, you know, you can't beat up on yourself, but for so long, I went through that, and when I went through counseling, you know, we have to learn to accept our responsibility in it. And once you can accept your responsibility and the part that you play, nobody deserves to be abused. But for whatever reason, we stayed. And I can say, actually, in the last one, I can actually say, until you learn that you cannot help someone that don't want to help themselves, it plays
Absolutely.
A big part. And that was my problem. I knew he was damaged when we, after some time after we had gotten together, but a part of me felt like I could love him past his pain. And when I realized that that was not going to work, I can't help you. You have to help yourself. It becomes crystal clear that he was much more damaged than I thought he was.
Absolutely, Ro. So, Melissa, can you tell us how we can reach you on Facebook?
Yes. I'm on Facebook as Melissa Holmes. The group, also Love Shouldn't Hurt, is also, you can reach me through that, on Facebook. And there's also a fan page, Love Shouldn't Hurt Awareness, Domestic Violence Awareness Support Group.
Okay. Tell her, thank you, Brandon.
Melissa, thank you. We're going to move along here. Maybe we're going to go to another caller or something, but I just wanted to thank you for coming on. You're okay?
Thank you.
Hold on now. Do we have my co-host, Akina Taylor, Charles Lane, Akina Taylor, any tunes? Do we have any of those callers on?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, we'll get any of that on. Do we have Akina Taylor?
Yeah, bye. Yes, I mean.
We don't. Oh, we got Kenneth Taylor and we got Charles Lane.
Hi,
Charles Lane
how are
on?
You?
Okay.
Hey,
first we're gonna start with my co-host. Then we're gonna go to. We're gonna start with my co-host. We got 11 minutes left, so we're gonna try to get out these three things. And first, we're gonna go with my co-host and Kenneth Taylor. He's gonna talk at least a couple minutes on it to Melissa Holmes, 2-time domestic abuse survivor from Bronx, New York, live on the Arthur Larry Tunes Gospel Radio Show. Go ahead, Arthur Kenneth Taylor, co-host.
Well, thank you, Larry. I'm kind of late getting in. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But Melissa Holmes.
Yes.
You are the survivor of what now? Help me out a little bit.
Domestic violence.
Domestic violence and love. How you say love doesn't hurt? How you say that?
Love shouldn't hurt.
Love shouldn't hurt. Okay. Love doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't, for real. I guess I will speak on love, and I guess for the victims, I have to say it's not your fault, but then it is your responsibility. Because sometimes, you know, I mean, being a victim, I guess, of being raised in a home of domestic violence and all that stuff. My question was to my mother, you know, as a child, I was probably 8 years old. And I asked her, I said, Mom, why do you put up with that? Why are you letting me beat you like that? Why do you do that, Mom? She said, I do it for you, Kenny. That hurt my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do it for me. You can't suffer. Love doesn't hurt. He doesn't love you. This man is trying to kill you, and you're my mother, and he's my father. And I'm supposed to love you both. But
yeah.
I hated this man. I hated this man until I wanted to kill him myself, you know. So I don't know a lot of answers, I guess. But it's not your fault. But you don't have to put up with it anymore. I don't care who you are, where you're from. My sister, I don't know if it's wrong. I don't know, you know, where we are right now. But I know that domestic violence is inhumane. I mean, it's beyond what you see on TV every day because it's real, you know, and the victims are real, the perpetrators are real, you know.
Yeah.
Now, how do we do it? This is 2015. You know, we search for solutions and remedies and cures. How do we cure that?
You know, I think the more people speak out about their experiences or get educated and do their research, I think the more we continue to bring awareness and people step out and start to tell their stories, I think, you know, it creates that, you know, that energy to, if you see something, say something. If you know something, say something, you know, and then it sort of kind of takes on that domino's effect. I think because it's real important to get the message out there, you know, a lot of people, I find nobody wants to get involved. And everybody has their own reasons as to why they don't want to get involved, because they feel like if they get involved, oh, well, I've gotten involved before, but she turns around and she goes right back. And I tell people, you never know what somebody's situation is or why they stay. My situation, I can't speak for everybody else's, but my situation and why I stayed with this last one was because he threatened to kill my kids and my mother. I know where your family lives. So if you leave, and that was just something that I couldn't have on my head. So I took the chances. To me, it was better for me to get beat than to have him to do something to my kids, or because I never knew if he was just bluffing. I don't know that. Because to me, if you say it, you can do it.
I agree.
That's right. That's correct.
He wasn't bluffing. It's not a bluff, Liv, and I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you, Larry. And that's pretty much, but I know this. I know this of a certainty. If he's an abusive human being, or a demon, I don't know what these things are, because they're not human. They will do what they say. If they say they would hurt your children, they would hurt your children. I know. I mean, you got to do something. You can't just sit idly by and say, well, it'll be all right. If your child tell you, they will hurt your children.
Yes. And that wasn't a chance that I was willing to take.
Okay, when we down to the 6 minute marks, and that's after Kenneth Taylor giving our words to the guest, Melissa Holmes, two-time survivor from the Bronx, New York. That was nice words after Kenneth Taylor. After Kenneth Taylor is the co-host, and we appreciate those words from our co-host, Arthur Kenneth Taylor. They call him Divine Love. And we're down to the 5:45 mark. Thank you, Divine Love, Kenneth Taylor. Well, we got...
my pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, now we got Annette Toombs. She's my sister. She's a regular cast member. Then we got Charles Lane. You want to say a few words there? It's my baby sister, Annette Toombs.
Yes, I was just listen to what she was saying, Melissa. First of all, I want to say hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
And I'm sorry you had to go through, you know, what you went through. But thank God that, you know, you're out of it. And
yes,
that
ma'am.
You're willing to share your story. Yeah.
Thank you. I think it's important to get it. I think it's important to get it out there.
Right.
Anybody who would listen, because I feel like, you know, if I could help at least one person or someone is listening to know the severity of getting out of an abusive relationship, if I could help just one person, then that means a lot.
Right.
Because that means that's less one person that may become a statistic.
Yeah.
That's true, that's true. We'll get down now to the 4 minute mark on the Author Larry Tune Gospel radio show. That was my baby sister Annette Tune. She never misses the show if the Lord let her live. She never misses the show. Now we're going down to Mr. Charles Lane. Charles, Mr. Charles, we have 4 minutes, 10 seconds. Could you speak to okay, I'm just fine. Melissa Holmes, she's 2-time domestic abuse survivor in the Bronx, New York. Would you like to say anything to her? What advice would you give Melissa Holmes?
Her story is incredible, man. You know, a lot
it
of
is.
This violence and stuff stems from, you know, I believe young men and boys and babies getting beaten when they were kids. You start beating them when you just hitting society. We got to hit. We stop that hitting right now. We might not be able to do that and save some of these people out here that are sick right now. It's a sickness, too, you know. You don't jump on no woman or kid.
No, you don't.
It is terrible.
It's terrible.
And like I say, some of these people will try to follow you. You believe them, they'll try to follow you.
And it's funny you should say that because that's exactly what happened. I was living in Baltimore then, and I moved back to New York where my family, my mom and everybody, and he actually is in New York, back here in New York as well. I haven't physically seen him, but for a whole year after I got back from New York, he called harassing my mom for a whole year after I got back. So once you leave, you know, that's the most crucial. I tell people you can't just up and make snap decisions in leaving. You have to plan to leave because that's the most crucial times, because that's when the biggest murders and domestic violence happen is after someone leaves an abuser. And so I had to plan carefully when it was the right time for me to leave. And
Go ahead. We got 2 minutes left, but go ahead.
It's a real crucial time. In the last couple of years, you know, you've always hear women speak of domestic violence, but I just want to stress that it's not just women.
Right.
This is a man's thing also.
Yes, you're right.
Men are being abused too. And I guess just because we're women, you know, it's not uncommon if we walk into the precinct or we call the police and say that it's domestic, you know, we have a domestic violence situation. But if a man calls, people look at them really strange.
Yes.
Because men are supposed to be more superior and they're supposed to be the ones, the strength. And they're supposed to take care of the house.
We're running out of time. We're out of Larry Tune Gospel Radio Show. We have 60 seconds left on the Author Larry Tune Gospel Radio Show. I will ask Melissa one more time. Thank you for coming on the Author Larry Tune Gospel Radio Show. Co-host Author Kenneth Taylor, Divine Love, my baby sister Annette Tune. We got Charles Lane. Give us your website. One more time before I end the show.
www.loveshouldn'thurtny.com.
That's 2-time survivor Melissa Holmes from the Bronx, New York. We're out of time on the Author Larry Tune Gospel Radio Show. Have a good day and God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you all. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.